And
Blog Talk
action.
Radio.
Anyway, 59 minutes left of the show. I got to call you earlier so we can get some of this done a little ahead of time because we always
kind of. Yeah, so we can do our little chit chat thing. Yeah.
Yep. It's 7 p.m. Eastern Time on February 11th. That is Thursday, of course, where we're at. Close to Zephyr Hills, 52 degrees. Let's see. 3-mile-an-hour winds. Tonight's supposed to be in the upper 30s, lower 40s, with a heavy percent chance of rain tomorrow, clearing out, and a perfect weekend here in Central Florida. We have Ron with us. We have Ron with us.
Hi.
There they are.
There you go.
They were
it's
watching.
Cold. It takes some time to yeah. get warmed up. Yeah.
And that threat of rain, they're kind of, you know, they're not watching the monitors.
That's true.
Or the applause sign. So we're going to get with it. And let's see, we have tonight's topic is South Africa. We'd love to have you on the program with us. Give us a call. It's all about wine. And let me give you the number, although you'll hear it several times. 727-3235. Lines are open. You can call us, talk anything about wine tonight between 7 p.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern Time. It doesn't have to be about South African wine. Just give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. And, you know, we'll break and we'll kind of go off the exit there and you know, to talk to you about wines. So it doesn't have to be about South African wines or wineries or anything. You know, just make it about wine, please.
Just anything. Yeah, anything. Any question you have, any comments, anything. We'd love to hear from you.
Okay. And we'll be back in, here we go, 2 minutes. And we have All About Wine coming up right now.
Have a variety of different sizes of bottles.
That sounds like you.
It does.
The following takes place between 7 and 8.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is just trying to educate people and let them know, you know, trying to make wine less confusing and more friendly.
Welcome to All About Wine on Blog Talk Radio and 1000mics.com. It's All About Wine, featuring Ron, winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert with Florida Estates Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida.
Labels themselves, are, like I say, they become an art form.
We welcome your calls during this one-hour program. Go on air with us by calling
646-727-3235.
That's 646-727-3235. Ask questions about any topic related to wine or voice your comments about the program. Chat with us on 1000mics.com. Just click on All About Wine in the show listing and send your comment in the comment box. Always entertaining and informative, it's All About Wine. And now, please welcome Ron.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
You need to listen to that. I think you're cutting out with it.
Oh. That was the countdown. That was our crowd. Our crowd is enjoying some wine on this bitter cold evening.
Yes.
Like, people up north are going, 52 is bitter cold?
52 is cold. What are you, idiots?
Exactly.
Yeah. Come up here with our 25 inches of snow. Talk about
exactly.
cold. Yeah.
Anyway, welcome Blog Talk Radio. Welcome 1000 Mics. We also have been now favored by OHP Radio on 1000 Mics, and welcome. And thank you for listening to us. And they also have shows on 1000 Mics, and it's always great to pick up new fans and new people who are interested in the show. So welcome OHP Radio on 1000 Mics. Glad to have you listening out there with us. And Ron, it's South African night.
South Africa tonight. You know, we're gonna go down south of the equator, get warmed up a little bit here.
Yes. Where is 66 degrees in South Africa?
66. That's a little bit warmer than it is. Anyway.
Yep.
Yeah. So, and they're actually, let's see, they are, well, Cape Town is the main area that we're going to talk, and Cape Town is 2 hours, I believe, ahead of Greenwich Mean Time. I think that's what I read somewhere that.
Okay.
Or 2 hours behind it is. 2 hours behind Greenwich Mean Time. So whatever it is in England, they are a couple of hours, you know,
England. I have London time. It's just after midnight London time, so it's about.
Oh, it's just after 2 a.m. in South Africa and Cape Town right now. So.
Or the other way. Is it? It would be the other way, wouldn't it? I don't know. We'll figure it out. I'll pull it up on the time.
Oh, yes, you're right. I don't know.
Yeah.
That'll give you something to do while I'm talking.
There goes my notes.
Yeah.
Abbreviate. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, in 66 and 83% humidity. Welcome. Okay, great. Here we go.
83% humidity. What?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's as bad as it is here. So we might get a break in South Africa. I guess not. Well, it's right down the water. South Africa. Let's go and talk about some wine. Let's talk about the country first a little bit here. We did a bit, but just to lay out the country of South Africa to you and give a little bit about the country, just so you know, for those of you who aren't familiar with the country of South Africa, or who those of you who are familiar with the country and want to. Get a refresher course on it. If I can find the one page I pulled up earlier here that I wanted to, there it is. That's what I wanted to look at. South Africa. It has divided up into nine different states, I guess you would call them. It is located at the very end of the country, or the continent of Africa, down to South Africa, hence the name, obviously. On the northwest, and Namibia, just north of South Africa is Botswana. Zimbabwe is on the upper eastern corner, and Mozambique is on the eastern part of the country, and then landlocked right next to Mozambique is Swaziland, and in the middle of the country of South Africa, we have Lesotho, which is completely surrounded by South Africa, which seems strange to me that a country would be completely surrounded by another country. But, hey, that's what it is. Now, most of the population in South Africa lives in, I'm not sure if I pronounce this right, Gauteng, G-A-U-T-E-N-G, Gauteng. The state of Gauteng, or the province of Gauteng, that's where you're going to find most of the population. Johannesburg is there, Pretoria, just all of the major cities. I mean, almost all the major cities of South Africa is located in that area there. But vineyards are not located in that area there. You won't find any vineyards at all anywhere close to that. To get to vineyards, we have to go down to the very tip, the Western Cape of South Africa, which is the southwestern part of the country. The Indian Ocean is on the east, the Atlantic Ocean is on the west, and the Western Cape is where the both of the oceans meet. Very turbulent weather. The oceans crashing into each other there, so travel goes. For years and years and centuries, there has been no passage north of South Africa to get around the African continent, so people have always had to travel down there. So South Africa has been a blend of many cultures, Indian, East Indian cultures, English, and influences from Spain and France and all sorts of stuff have influenced South Africa and has influenced the wine industry, the grape growing industry, and the wine industry. The Cape wine industry started with the settlement of white settlers back. The Dutch East India Company identified Table Bay, which is right there at Cape Town. And Cape Town is again the southeast tip. If you look at the Western Cape, you'll see the little finger, little nub coming out. The Table Bay, and that is where Cape Town is located. That was first settled back in 1652, a long time ago. One of the wineries was opened there by the French Huguenots in around that period of time too, and they had it open for some time. bringing grapes in from France. As a note, about the same time, the French sailed to the New World in 1562, 1563, and I said 16 on this one, back about 100 years before that, in 1562, 1563, they opened a winery in North America, actually in Florida, which is now the Fort Lauderdale area. The French came over, French Huguenots, and opened a winery there for about 15 years before they closed it down. So there was a winery opened up in North America about 100 years before the first one here in South Africa. But the actually in April of 1652, an expedition led by a doctor, Johan van Riebeck, who was the commander of the expedition, who was the doctor, settled in an area, Cape Town, actually now, and with him brought some grape seeds and cuttings from England in the area and put them in the ground, thinking that this would be a great area to grow grapevines. And actually, he was quite right. It turned to be a very prolific area. The grew well, and he asked for more, got more, and planted much more in that area there, which was used for on ships, grapes and wine. Actually, wine at the time helped ships as coming through the area there. Didn't have to be good wine, but it was better than most of the water that was available. And they used the grapes as an antiseptic, and they felt it was good for the gastrointestinal illnesses and scurvy and all this other stuff that was affecting the ship. So it was used quite a bit as a medicinal potion to for the ships traveling around the tip of South Africa. The in 1655, where the shows that where the first grapes were planted, and the first wine was produced in February of 1659. Put in his logbook the quantity of grapes, 4 gallons or about 15 liters, and the varietal, which was Muscadel, was made then. Nothing was written about the quality of the grapes or what they tasted like or anything, but he did note the how much and the varietal. This was actually the beginning of the South African wine industry, the South African business. The following centuries, it came and went, depending on who was in control and who was taking care of the country, depending on what was needed, and the political and economic factors all came into play over the centuries in South Africa. And then in the 20th century, Cooperative Wine Growers Association of South Africa, known by the African KWV, the African's initial KWV, this was the controlling body that came into existence. South Africa was also isolated politically because of its views on apartheid and how they divided up their country. I mean, it was very racially divided, and because of that, South Africa was put on sanctions by a lot of the countries in the world. So their grape growing industry and wine industry suffered because of that. But then in the 1970s, they started to get some input. They loosened the political transformation of the country started to change a little bit, not as much as it should have, not as much as it could have, but started to change somewhat. And then by the 1990s, apartheid lessened and things really started to boom then as far as the grape growing industry goes. KWV, or the Corporatief Wine Growers Association of South Africa, established some rules and regulations, though, concerning, this was back in 1972, concerning how grapes should be named, how wine should be labeled. They provided sort of a policing of the certification system vintage appellation. Really started to control all this. Prior to 1972, there was no regulations or rules. If you got yourself a wine out of South Africa prior to 1972, it could have said anything on it and been anything else. There was no regulations, no rules, no anything. It was just whatever the wineries decided to throw out there and put on it. But then when KWV started to put their things, their regulations on there, it settled it down a little bit and started to give a little bit more of a legitimacy, if you will, to the South African wines. Legislation changed a lot of that and also started to get a lot of the growers more aware of the terror, the land that they were using, the soil they were using, the little bit more awareness of varietal types of characteristics and what could grow and what could not grow there, and the varietal types of grapes that were planted there started to reflect a lot of what was growing in France and Germany. They were getting a lot of grapes in from that area, and so by 1998, Cabernet Sauvignon, Cabernet Franc, Merlot, Pinot Noir, Syrahs, Rhine Riesling, Sauvignon Blanc, Gewürztraminer, Demeanor, Chardonnay jumped up tremendously in the amount of areas that were planted in these grapes. Previous to that, it was just a helter-skelter of any type of Auden grapes, but the classification system helped bring out the more varietal styles. Bureaucratic aspect of it, though, was still very strong for many years, and it's slowly changing now. The African wines are becoming more and more available around the world. They're becoming more and more noticeable around the world, and they're becoming more accepted around the world because of the way that the system has been working. I want to mention, too, South Africa, the size of South Africa is about twice the size of Texas. So any of you listening to it that are familiar with the size of Texas, South Africa is about twice the size of Texas. So it's a rather large country overall. The regions of South Africa, it's been there is no real one region you can look at and say this is the style from this region, because it seems like each region has so many microclimates and so many small areas that it does give an opportunity to grow just about anything under any type of microclimate. One of the biggest areas, one of the most established areas, is Constantia. Constantia is located just south of southwest a little bit of Cape Town. A small area, actually. It's not a real big area, but one of the oldest areas of the South African wines. It was established many years ago, many years ago. One of the first areas, and this is probably the area that Van Rijbroeck planted his grapes in the Constantia area. It juts out into the sea, so it has a lot of influence from the ocean and the cooling effect to contribute to a long, cool summer ripening period with daily temperatures usually are between mid to upper 60s, and the night temperatures dropping down into the 40s because of the influence of the ocean. and you see quite a bit of rain too throughout the year. So this is probably one of the better areas for growing, but it pretty much died almost to the point where it didn't exist for a long time there. By the mid 1970s, late 1970s, there was only one winery that was still surviving there called Constantia, and it survived simply because it got many handouts from the government to survive. It didn't do it on its own. The government wanted to preserve it and save it because it was such an old established one. So the government did put a lot of money into it to keep it alive. But within the last 20 years, the area has turned around. They're starting to realize the potential of the area there. It is close enough to Cape Town that it gets a constant flow of tourists and a tremendous amount of people coming out to visit it. It has established a lot more wineries there. Some of the bigger ones there have established themselves quite a reputation. The one that's one of the oldest ones there that was established in 1796 and has still been passed around to relatives and to different trustees now of the winery is called I hope I pronounce this right, Butten Verwachting, Watching. It is 250 acres or 1,000 hectares with making some notably world-class Rhine Riesling, Sauvignon Blanc, and Chardonnays. There's some vintages of a red blend of Cabernet Franc and Cabernet Sauvignon that has been winning medals around the world, sold under the brand name Christine. So if you happen to see one out on the shelves, it's a great red wine that has won a tremendous amount of medals around the world and awards. The other one established in 1823 that is, has died and came back to life now is Klein Constantina Estate. This one has also put this area on the map with its Cabernet Sauvignon. It is making some phenomenal Cabernet Sauvignons, actually, and doing some blend styles of the Cabernets and Merlots and Cabernet Francs. So this is Constantine, just south of Africa, of Cape Town. We can go just north of Cape Town now to an area called Paarl, P-A-A-R-L, Paarl. Paarl is just north of Cape Town, and just to the east of Cape Town is an area called Stellenbosch. Both of these areas are wine-growing regions just within an hour's drive, actually, of Cape Town. Both of them are battling with each other, being the best. It's a friendly rivalry between the two. Reminded me a lot of Napa and Sonoma counties, Napa being noted in being probably one of the best noted areas of the United States for wine, but Sonoma has its followers and advocates that you're not going to sway them to Napa. And this is the way it is with the Stellenbosch and the Paarl area. Stellenbosch is very close to Cape Town, and it is only about a 30-minute drive outside of Cape Town. And because it is our 30-mile drive, so less than 30 minutes, 50 kilometers. And so because it is so close to it, it really gets a lot of tourists, a lot of people going there. But Paarl, being north, has a lot of great wines and a lot of great possibilities for phenomenal wines, world-class wines there. And so it is a continuous battle between the two. Paarl, to begin with, is probably... it's got a lot of smaller wineries and a lot of medium-sized cellars producing some really phenomenal wines. The most noted one there is Baxberg Estates, which was established in 1916 by a Sydney Back, and he's actually the face of wine. He got away from some of the low quality plantings there and started to plant some good quality Chardonnays out of France and some Sauvignon Blancs and Merlots And because of that, the bees have grown well and have established some very strong, powerful plantings and some strong, powerful wines from that area, and really some notable grapes and notable wines from the Parle area. The land area of Parle, though, is very diversified. You're going to find a loam soil in some areas, granite. You have mountains that shield it on one side into Parle Valley. And because of these mountains, you cut down on the rain, but it's still not so little rain that you have to irrigate. It is gets enough rain that the irrigation is really not really needed in the area. And so you're coming out with some phenomenal wines with a nice climate and a controlled climate that has been around for some time and is drawing some more interest and some more more world notice. Another thing that they grow in the Parle area that is worth mentioning too is their fortified wine. They produce a unique fortified wine that is also noted throughout the world. A W.O. Of Bolberg, I believe it is. W.O. Bolberg is the name of it, and it's close to the Berg River, which is runs through Parle. Stellenbosch is the second oldest wine region in South Africa, behind the region of Constantia. It is responsible for only about 14% of the wine's annual production, but for one area, that's really quite a large amount. The first plantings there came in 1679, so right behind some of the first plantings throughout the that wherever came into the country there. They do receive a lot of climate influence from Table Bay and False Bay, which is right outside of Cape Town. The area is average temperatures that really don't fluctuate a lot, but it gives a nice, slightly warmer temperature than the Bordeaux region. And because of that, they're able to do some great Bordeaux-style blends and Bordeaux-style wines in the area. A strong area for the red wine production. The terroir of the area matches the Bordeaux terroir land quite well, and it gives some unique Cabernet Sauvignon, Merlot, Pinotage, and Syrah wines that are getting noticed worldwide. Some of the areas of the Stellenbosch have been able to come up with some fantastic Chardonnays and Sauvignon Blancs. And they've been blending the Chardonnay and Sauvignon Blancs together to get a unique wine. Most of the wines, most of the area there in the southern part of the Stellenbosch is planted in a Chenin Blanc and Sauvignon Blanc Chardonnay areas. This is the white areas in the southern part, with red wines taking up the northern areas of it, more so than the southern areas. There are over 80 wineries in the Stellenbosch area now, which they're increasing all the time. It's starting to become more and more popular and more noticeable area of the growers there, and they're finding that it is a great area to plant, and because of the location close to Cape Town, has really attracted a lot of new growers. In fact, some of the older established growers have opened up their own cellars, and that's why you're finding so many more wineries. Is that a lot of the big wineries that used to get from different growers, a lot like Napa Valley, and it reminded me of too, because Napa Valley was that way many years ago. Napa used to have just a few wineries, and all the vineyards were growers for these wineries. And over the years, all these little growers decided they would open up their own winery and become their own winery instead of growing grapes for someone else. And this is what's happening in the Stellenbosch area. One thing I do want to cover about South African wines, though, is a couple taste. South African wines tend to be very, very crisp, very acidic. The soil tends to lean toward giving a much more acidic style wine or crisp style wine. The easiest one probably to notice that is in the Pintage. Now, the Pintage is uniquely South African grape. It is a cross between the Sinsel and the Pinot Noir. Depends on how the grape is made, depends on what area it grows in. You will get influence from one or the other parentage, one or the other lineage of it. Some areas you will get a distinct Pinot Noir type aromas and flavors, a Rhone like version from France, the style of Pinot Noir. But in other areas you're going to get a much dark, or a much lighter, fruitier, very acidic style of a Pinotage. The Cabernet Sauvignon, Merlot, Syrahs that you're going to find in South Africa tend to lean toward the old world style, high acids, very stringent tannins, sort of a thick smoky type aroma and taste to it. Classic old world France style wines. But then you have many that do a different version, a lighter, more fruit-driven version, like you find in the New World, California and South America type wines. This type of style is also brought out depending on where you're picking up the grapes and where you're growing the grapes and even what style the winemaker is going to do it. But the astringency is very predominant in a lot of South African wines. And so I think I'm going to take a second here and have myself a sip. And I think you got something to play for us there, Mike.
Yeah, here we go.
About Winefest coming up this Saturday. Listen to this.
Coming up this Saturday, it's Wine Festival, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Florida Estates Winery. Enjoy live music, food, homemade crafts, and unique gift items and more. And, of course, world-class wines from Florida Estates Winery. This event is free and open to the public. Enjoy the great outdoor setting at the winery this Saturday, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Wine Festival, located at 25241 State Route 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida. For more information, call 813-996-2113 or visit us on the web at www.floridaestateswines.com. It's always a great day at Florida Estates Winery.
Wow, that was quick.
That was quick. That was 2 minutes.
Sam Osborne is going to be there this Saturday as your musician at the winery at Winefest with light and classic rock. And check it out. That's always great. Plus, you have other vendors. And I believe the weather this weekend is going to be absolutely amazing. You definitely want to check it out at the winery this Saturday from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. It's Winefest. And back to our...
Thank you.
Have a sip.
So, Stellenbosch. Stellenbosch, I believe it is. Stellenbosch. Big area, quite a large area. Stellenbosch, I want to bring up a couple of wineries there, though. Delhem Wines in Simonsburg, 371 acres, 150th acres, award-winning wines for years and years out of there. The owners have established some world-class taste and world-class wines, old world style. Another one that is that really caught my eye was... Cannon Kop Estate, established in 1910. This is one that has become internationally known because of its varietal Pinotage. The Pinotage was actually one of the first growth Pinotages in this area out of this winery here, and he has established some phenomenal wines and phenomenal Pinotage. I've had Pinotage. I'm going to talk a second for a Pinotage. I've had two or three Pinotage. Every one of them has given me a different experience. I I don't want to, you know, judge a Pentatonic on what I've experienced yet, because every one of them I tasted something different. One of them was very light and fruity, an extremely light Pentatonic, with a lot of fruit and a lot of light flavors in it, a lot of soft fruits and stuff. Another one I had was rather disappointing. It was lacking in just about everything, and I don't remember who it was that, you know, who the state was that I got that from, but it was very lacking. And then the third one tended to be rather heavy, rather strong, a nice deep dark color, and still somewhat of a fruitiness to it, but the color and the tannins surprised me. I expected one like the first one, or is just a much lighter one with the tannins and not noticeable as much as the fruit. And the last one I had was very dry, very tannic driven. You could still taste the fruits, but it was a darker fruit, a much heavier fruit type taste to it. I actually probably should have aged that one. It had the possibility, I believe, of putting it away for 4 or 5 years and seeing how it affected it. So the Pentatonic is a unique grape, again, a blend of the Cinsault and Pinot Noir. From early 1910, I think, something like that is when they were first grape was first, the hybrid came from those two. So it's been quite some time that those grapes have been around. Next area is the Franchoc, Franchoc, Franchoc area. The Franchoc area is located in just between the Parle area and the Stellenbosch area, more than anything, influenced a lot by, on one side by the Parle area and the other side by the Stellenbosch area. The area was first settled by the French Huguenots, and the region became a wine region back in the end of the 1600s by the French. Because of the KWV, again, the South African wine group, the KWV has set minimum prices and stuff on different ones, then this area has still been locked into that with a 10% alcohol content and some of the wines. So for years, the Franchoc area wasn't really noted for what it was able to do. But then in the 1980s, mid-1980s, it started to change quite a bit. They found that it could make some really good quality wines, some good tasting wines out of the area. They found some nice areas that it could the grapes could grow in, but one of the problems that they've ran across in that area too is the fact that it's starting to become developed quite a bit. It's becoming a very good area for development and homes and stuff. So it is the area is battling the growth of the area against the vineyards, and hate to say it, but usually growth wins out because developers will step in and offer tremendous amounts for the vineyard and they will sell. So there's always a possibility that it might not last much longer as big as it is. It will continue to last, but it, as big as it is, probably one of the biggest ones in the area is Barchanel. This is over 1,200 acres or 500 hectares and located right on the borders of Parle and Stellenbosch, and it's become one of the biggest wine areas, and actually one of the first areas to grow a Blanc de Noir. The area is noted for its white wines, and it's a little bit out of the area that's being bought out, so that's one good thing for it. It probably will survive there. The Breed River Valley. Breed River Valley is located in the southeast of the Cape Town, just east of the mountains, a warm climate area, very dry in most places. It's got easy access to irrigation. It does a lot of bulk wines. High yield varieties are used here a lot. Used to sell a lot to other places and all that. The land is very, very acidic, very calcium rich area of land around here. Temperature staying usually pretty warm overall. Because of that, Chardonnay and Syrah wines are probably the most noted from the region there. Although you get closer to the mountains and some fortified wines are made, plus Muscadel, Hanapot, which is a dessert wine, style of dessert wine. Also, the area has been very successful with some botrytis grapes and growing the a sweet botrytis wine. I noticed another thing, too, about most all these areas in Africa do some sort of sweet wine, but not all of them are botrytis. They do a sweet wine because the sugar levels can get up high enough that they can keep the alcohols low and the sugars high on it as they're fermenting, and they make some dessert wine just about everywhere. The Reed River Valley, the Worcester, Worcester area, however they pronounce it, grows almost half the Semillon and a third of the Ruby Cabernet that's planted in Africa. Some of the other varietals that we don't hear too much about. Also, the Colombard or French Colombard and Chenin Blanc are got some large plantings in this area. Which is a lesser known grape, but nonetheless makes some very nice wines. Another area, Overberg. Overberg is located in the. Let me find it here. Overberg is south, down at almost the tip, down at the very, very southern part of South Africa. Cool climate because of the influence from the Atlantic and the Indian. And it's basically been overlooked quite a bit. They have some nice Chardonnay plantings, nice Pinot Noir plantings in this area. The bay influence of the cool weather and higher elevations have gave some nice Sauvignon Blanc grapes coming out of there, and with some nice crisp acidity and crisp flavors to it. The Robertson Bonneville area, this is north of the of Cape Town, and it just so many, well, actually northeast of Cape Town. So many of these areas are right around Cape Town. It's amazing. Most of your wine-growing district, and I've mentioned before the parallels. If you go around the world and look at the parallels that are the wine areas, the 30 degrees south to 40 degrees south is most of them in the southern hemisphere, and that's where South American wine is growing. That's where Australia, New Zealand is, and South Africa is right in the middle of that. If you start getting too far north, and especially northwest of Cape Town, you're getting some very, very hot weather, which does not make for good grape growing at all. So all these are right around South, are right around Cape Town. Robertson Bonneville, it's about 2 hours drive out of Cape Town. This is an area that is great for bulk grape growers. A lot of this area is used for bulk grape growing, sold to other areas because of it. You can bring up some very nice acid in these and some very, very heavy, strong wines. And because of that, this area is really noted for its brandies and fortified wines. It has gotten quite a reputation. It is shielded quite a bit from the ocean climates and stuff because of fields around there. Most of the rainfall happens on the coastal side of it, of the region, and very little gets on into the northern part of the region. after passing through the mountains. So because of that, irrigation has to be used in a lot of the areas here. But because irrigation is used extensively in this area and they do have the water to do it, this is actually the vegetable and fruit basket of the country of South Africa. If you're going to get any fruits, I mean, we talk about California, Central Valley, and we talk about Florida and our abilities to grow fruit. This area, the Robertson Bonneville area, is the fruit and vegetable growing region of South Africa. This is where most of the fruits and vegetables come from. This area also is being sold a lot as a housing developments and housing projects there. Although the government has established new rules and new laws, so that's going to slow down a little bit. There is a couple of other areas of note in South Africa. One of them is the Klein Karoo area. This runs actually just, it's a rather large area that runs east of Cape Town on the other side of the Stellenbosch Pearl area, going east of that area there, a rather big area. It has, this area is home of the South African Port Festival every year. It's noted for their port because of the warm climate, because of its location inland. It has established itself as one of the better port areas of the world, behind Spain and Portugal, as far as quality goes. And then Durbanville is another area that Durbanville is located just north of Cape Town, just an area just north of Cape Town, definitely losing its size because of urban sprawl. It's really being overtaken quite a bit by housing and all that there, more so than any other area. Although the wine production there is continuing on, but it's really a boutique-type wine growing there, very small vineyards with a lot of them getting their grapes from outside the area, bringing it in. The vineyards that are still there, though, are doing some phenomenal job with the Pinotage, a great winery there by the name of Durbanville Hills. It has gotten itself some phenomenal reviews on their Pinotage, also on their Chardonnay and Sauvignon Blanc. Has really gotten rave reviews around the country and around the world. There are a few other smaller areas that are grape growing regions and winery regions in South Africa, but not as well known and not as well publicized, and actually not as well not as good of grape quality as they can. And there's two of them that are located up in the Orange River Valley area, another one in the Vale Valley area, more on the northern side of the desert area of South Africa. These are not real strong growing areas. They do a variety of grapes, very warm climates. Irrigation is needed in some of the areas. They do have mountains up there that protect them a little bit from the deserts and the desert areas, but the they're probably noted more for the chunks, some colombard. There is some African varieties there that have been around for years that they still grow, but a lot of it is ran by a lot of cooperatives and do a lot of bulk wine production. They are a lot of table wines for the country. Probably because of the also some. I'm sorry, I got a blank here. The dessert wines, the Botrytis wines, are affected a little bit in the winter because of the shielding on late harvest. So they do come out with some fruit wines, are not fruit wines, some late harvest wines, some sweet wines, But the area is really a semi-desert area, which more noted for its sheep farming, ostrich farming, stuff like that, than they are really for the grapes. So that pretty much takes care of South Africa.
Wow.
The large area. Boy, we're early today, aren't we? You actually have to run through it real fast at the end of the day. I ended up getting early. Thank you.
We get rushed sometime, but that was good.
Yeah, but it's interesting. South Africa, just their grape growing industry was absolutely fascinating, and what they've been able to turn out over the years, and how they've been able to overcome. I mean, some of the areas, as I was reading different things and looking this up, some of the areas have really been destroyed. I mean, absolutely. Plowed under and completely destroyed, and they build it back up. Phylloxera, the disease, the problem with the roots, phylloxera devastated the grape industry in South Africa. It hit all around the world in the late 1800s, and it definitely did a major, major number on South Africa. The vineyards and a lot of grapes. And then they've replanted using a lot of modern methods now. Mechanical harvesting is becoming very, very popular in South Africa. Because of the heat in some areas, they are really trying to cut down on the tonnage per acre. I've mentioned before that most places try to keep around 4 or 5 tons an acre. Because of the heat and stuff like that, a lot of the areas in South Africa try to keep it down to 2¾ to 3¼ tons an acre. I mean, really less than most places have. Hmm. And they have to be careful with the grapes getting burned from the heat. And they've had lots of problems in trying to get it especially in areas just right outside of the Cape Town area. You know, you get your good areas, your real good areas that are good for grapes and good for growing and all that. Like I said, the Paarl area and the Constantia area, which is, that and the Stellenbosch area. Those three are noted, but boy, it really struggles in a lot of these other areas. Most all the grapevines are now in American rootstock because of the phylloxera outbreak, and these have had problems with these being infected with different viruses, and the grapevines being infected with powdery mildew and downy mildew, and just all sorts of stuff. It's been a struggle because the humidity more than anything has really done it. One of the reasons why we have problems here in Florida, that it's just multiplied there too. It's been a problem over the years, but they are starting to make themselves noted worldwide for their quality and for some of the grapes they're coming out with and for some of the wines they're coming out with. South Africa has definitely got themselves a name and established themselves some quality grapes and some quality wines.
And are they easy to find in the States here?
You can find a Pinotage a lot of places. That's the South African grape. But I've seen South African wines just about everywhere. You're not going to find them in grocery stores or stuff like this. But you walk into wine shops or liquor stores, a little bit larger liquor stores, and most of the time you're going to find some South African wines. Here in Florida, we have ABC Liquor, which is a chain. It's not the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board. It's a chain of liquor stores. And a lot of places, ABC is Alcoholic Beverage Control, but the ABC chain has a variety of South African wines. Total Wines, which is a East Coast chain, I'm not sure if they're national yet or not, but Total Wines has a lot of South African wine. So, yes, to answer your question, there are a lot of them to be found, a lot of the variety that I've mentioned, but there are a lot of them, and they're getting more and more of them shipped into the country, too, as more and more importers discover them and discover a market for them. We continue to get more and more in. So,
Very interesting.
Okay.
They were just, and you were correct on the time, by the way, in South Africa. They are coming up to 3 a.m. now. I must have been going the different direction or something with the, you know, whatever.
Yeah, you were coming toward us, and they're away from us. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I was getting confused with. Like, that doesn't. Yeah. I don't know, but yeah, you'd think 2 hours the other side wouldn't be possible. So, but yeah, they are coming up on 3 a.m. and looks like chance of rain for Friday for South Africa, and temperatures going to be great, 70s for the high, 60s for the low. And Sunday's going to be a great day there. So, you know, it's going to be great. I tell you what, people, go to the Wine Fest on Saturday, and we'll give you some more details here in a minute. And once you're done with Wine Fest on Saturday, fly over for the great weather also to Cape Town, South Africa.
There you go.
And enjoy the weather over there.
First time you get over to South Africa, it's going to be daylight again. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It will be Sunday. And, have a great weekend. Come back, you know, and you're done. And go back to work Monday.
There you go. let me tell this out. Great varieties in South Africa. I just noticed this here. Chenin Blanc, the biggest planted grape in South Africa. 18.7% of the vineyards are planted in Chenin Blanc. Cabernet Sauvignon, 13%. Colombard, they call it Colombard here. I've always called it French Colombard, same thing. 11.4%. Syrahs, they do it with a Z here, a Syrah instead of an H. 9.6%. Sauvignon Blanc, 8.2%. Chardonnay, 8%. Merlot, 6.7%. And Pinotage, only 6.2% of the country's planted vineyards are planted in Pinotage. So a little bit smaller percentage of Pinotage, but a very interesting grape. I, if you're going to try South African wines, try the Pinotage. That's that would be my suggestion to anybody too. So, but I just the percentage of grapes are. We did have a few minutes here to
cool.
Pick it all. You know, the producers over here are stretching the fingers out. Paul, they're locked.
I need to get you all on a webcam so I can see that part and go,
that's
pretty cool. I have an official timekeeper there. That's good. if you haven't been to the Florida Estates Winery website, please do so. You can also subscribe to their newsletter. It's very informative, some great information. They tell you about upcoming events, some wine recipes, wine pairing recipes, and some wine facts are in them, and it's very interesting. I read mine. Tells me everything about the wine fest coming up, wine classes, and the recipes are. And this recipe this week, was that the chocolate?
Yes, the chocolate.
Yeah. So if I'm not on the next show,
that's
exactly what happened. But just all kinds of cool facts and everything in the newsletter. Sign up for the newsletter; it's great, and you get some great information. And it comes out about what every other week.
About every 2 weeks.
Right before
week before the festival.
Festival. Yeah, check it out. FloridaEstatesWines.com. FloridaEstatesWines.com, and that's the website. And you'll find the subscription there. We put your email in it, and you're set to go. You can also contact the winery by phone in the U.S. Area code 813-996-2113. It's 813-996-2113. Florida States Winery, located at 25241 State Road 52. That's 4 miles west. Unlike my trying to figure out where South Africa is, definitely west of Interstate 75 on State Road 52, about 4 miles. You see the signs out there on State Road 52, and you just go north a little ways on the road, and it's right there. It's a great, plenty of parking. And it's always a great day at the winery, 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida. You can email you can email the winery at corp, at flewn.com. That's corp@flewn.com. And again, the website, FloridaEstatesWines.com. This Saturday, it's Wine Fest. Great. 10 a.m. to 3 p.m.
Also on Facebook, too, I'm going to throw out here.
Yes,
you know, Florida State Wines on Facebook. We try to keep you informed with little things that's going on, what's happening at the winery, just to keep you up with stuff. That's
yeah,
all.
It is really interesting when especially, you know, you tell us who's been coming in from where, like people from up north, and you did something with the temperature differences. Someone came in and was, you know, commenting about the temperature or something down here.
Yeah.
it's a great thing to get the updates there as well. And check out WineFest. Also, the winery is open daily, 7 days a week, 11 a.m. until 6 p.m. 7 days, yeah, except on major holidays. But give them a call. Picnics are welcome out there. It's a great place. And Ron, thank you. I know we're kind of limited here on the outgoing thing, so I figured I'd cover everything that's in the recording part. So
yeah, well, thanks.
We're counting
thank
down.
Thank you. 15. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it, as always.
Thank you. And we'll see you all next Thursday, right? Thank you. On Blog Talk Radio, check us out there, or on 1,000 Mics. Thank you, 1,000 Mics and Blog Talk Radio. We'll see you all next week. Thanks, Ron.
Thank you. Good night, everyone.
Oh, that was it. Oh, it's off of that. And
I think we're off the air on.